But we started last a couple weeks ago, and we got on the ingredients of faith, and we started in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This was our passage of scripture that we started with, and it was this: "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as in sound judgment, as God has allotted to each man a measure of faith." Now, if you go back a few weeks ago, you can listen to this scripture in its entirety, or this that particular message in its entirety, because I don't have time to, you know, break it down like we did when we first started. But I do want to make a few points. Number one, God made it measurable to work through you. Yes. All right. He's given us each a measure of faith. But God is a detailed God. And you got to understand, you know, I have some different types of recipe boxes here. We won't be dealing with any of these today, but maybe at the end of second service, I'll give them away. But you can get some gluten-free pancakes. There's a way to make these. The Red Lobster. Anybody like the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits? Man, these are awesome. Anyway, you know, there's a recipe there, and then here's here. And then the thing about it is that there's different things that you put in to these. Not every measurement's the same. All right? So in this particular one, we're going to do a fourth cup of water, but only a third cup of vegetable oil. Well, if we got that backwards, that might be a problem. Are you with me? And it says one egg. All right? You can put 10 eggs in if you want to, but I'm not sure what it would do to this recipe. All right, so there, it's detailed. If you'll do it according to what is written, I'm going to say that again. If you'll do it according to what is written, you'll have, right? Because, again, this is just a vision of what we can have. I can't smell it. Nope, tastes like cardboard, right? You know, it doesn't taste good. The picture looks great, but I want to actually have the brownie itself. I'll probably make these. These I might not give away. But if we make it according to how it's written, then I should expect to get this. Right, yeah. Amen. Have you ever been to a restaurant where they've taken pictures of the thing and then all of a sudden they send it to you and you're like, it don't look nothing like what I saw on the picture. Right. I mean, that's an instant disappointment right there. You're like, what is this? Right? And so when God paints a picture in our mind of what we can have, then we shouldn't satisfy for anything less. Because if we'll do it according to what God has written in his word, then we'll have exactly what his word says. And here's the thing. I thank God for these boxes because they give us a little visual stimuli so that we can see what we could have. But you understand, if this picture did not exist and I had the word only, I could still accomplish it. Yes. Amen. Amen. And a lot of times, as you want your picture Bible, well, if you need pictures, then go find you a children's picture Bible to encourage you in your faith. Amen. But I know if I just do it according to what God says, I'll have what he says. Amen. So again, the Bible's like a recipe book. Again, I did baking stuff here, but again, you could have all kind of stuff. You know, you could do beef Wellington. You could do some mac and cheese here. This is Becky's mac and cheese, fresh tomato salsa. Here's some party queso. We talked about that last time. Romaine salad looks pretty good, right? Got all the pictures. But here, I don't know what this roasted cauliflower soup looks like because it doesn't show me. But if I follow the recipe again, I should have exactly what it says, all right? So another thing that we learned, this is your measure is based on the grace given to you according to your call and place in the body. So again, don't be upset if I'm the cup of water in a recipe and you're the quarter teaspoon of vanilla extract. Because when you get in, we'll know it. I said, when you get in, we'll know it. And you know, let me just say it this way. I know it when we get in worship. A lot of you holding your measure back. I'm just telling you, a lot of you are holding your measure back. And you want, and we're going to deal with that a little bit today because I want to have a better smelling worship time. All recipes are different measurements based on the part, but when they all come together, they make something better than when left alone. I do not make it a habit. I have no habit. Just kidding. I do not go through my house and grab the vanilla extract and do a quarter teaspoon and pop it in my mouth every day. I don't just sip on it. I don't do that. I've never done that, actually. I may have done it like that. I did one time do a little bit of stevia. That stuff. My nephew, he took a whole teaspoon one time and threw it in his mouth. He didn't know what was going on. He about died, I think. But my point is that, you know, I don't just take certain measurements, but when I add it to what it's designed for, then it all comes together as it was designed. Amen. We also saw in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And we said this, if we follow the recipe, it will manifest what is said. The recipe is designed to produce more servings than just for one. Again, all these boxes have more than one serving. And God never intended for you to be the only person walking in this power. It was never about you. And I think sometimes, you know, what hurts us is that we were presented the gospel as a personal savior. Now, he is personal. Don't get me wrong. He knows you personally. He knows how much hair is on your head or how much is not on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows the cell count in your body right now. He knows that all that. And as personal as that is, he did not come just to save one individual. So a lot of times we kind of get this thought process that God would have done it even if it was just for one. Well, God would have done it, and he never came just for one. He came for everyone. His desire is that all would repent. Now, he understands not all will, but he did not come for one. So we need to kind of get away from this one mentality, because he actually came to establish the church, which is more than one member. Hallelujah. And when we would actually come together, bring our measurement of faith together, we would do something way greater. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you the world's going to change if we did everything that Jesus did, because the world didn't change when Jesus was here. But I will say this, we won't be standing before the Lord and the Lord saying, "I had y'all come together to demonstrate something in St. Augustine, but many of you were holding your measurements back." Now, I don't want that. I mean, I want us to be the church that was all in, our whole heart for the Lord. And it wasn't about, "I'm going to come, I'm going to hear the word for me, I'm going to get mine, I'm going to believe God for me only," and not be believing God for other people. You have a serving bigger than a single serving, all right? And then the next last thing we learn is the measure increases to produce more than a single serving, meaning, again, these boxes, in order for me to actually only do a single serving, I would have to cut these measurements down. Because, again, a fourth cup of water and a third cup of vegetable oil and one egg is for the whole box. But if I wanted one biscuit, I would have to change that. All right? So God never designed the church for people to just get a single serving. He designed us, we're all get in together and we would be something greater as a whole. All right? So we've got to change that mentality. All right? Let's go ahead and jump in. And so let's go a little bit further today, because we've got to understand that faith is an awesome thing. And so let's go ahead and do some baking. Can we do that? Y'all all right with that? Let me pull a few things out. It takes me a little time here. I'm going to need some water, because I want us to kind of put some perspective in our preaching today. I thank God for illustrated sermons, because they can't help. All right? Okay. So I'm going to move some things around here a little bit. Let's see. We're going to make some of this today. Oh, yeah. All right. Here's the church right here. Right? Did you ever seen that little thing they used to do back in the day? It says, you know, "Here's the church. Here's the people, you know, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people," right? Okay, this is the church right here. We're a bowl. I was with a worship team earlier today. It sounded better when we were playing. I was just a clanging gong by myself, right? Okay, so we're going to make a super moist cake mix. This is the butter recipe yellow, all right? Okay, so with that being said, we're going to pull out our little packet here, and I'm going to go ahead and read the directions to you. What we're going to do is we are going to heat the oven to 350 degrees, all right? All right, so we did that. This is from Sears. If you like this stove, you can go over to Sears, and you can pick that up, all right? They have many appliances there. I encourage you to purchase from them, because we own them all. We want them to still be here, amen? All right. With that being said, we're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees because of the type of round pans that I have. I'm not in glass. I'm actually in a pan, so that's 350 degrees. Then what I do now is we mix it up. So they tell me to take the cake mix, right? So this is, we said this about the recipe, is that there's different elements when it comes to faith, right? Again, you can't be in faith if you're walking in doubt. Can't have doubt in your recipe, right? We talked about you're going to have some things that God's going to communicate to you in each area. First of all, you have to have the word, because without the word of God, you can't have faith at all. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. Then if you're going to get that faith to work, then you're going to have to do some things. We know that in the ingredient of faith, we know every one of them has the word of God and love, because faith works by love, right? But from there, then there's a confession may need to be thrown in there, right? Most likely, because again, before you got born again, or when you got born again because you had a confession of faith. First, you had some hope. Hope turned into faith. You said something out of your mouth. You confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord. You became born again. All that was part of the ingredient. You believed with all your heart, right? You put down thoughts. And you only took on to the word of God. So again, this is just one aspect of the cake mix. So I'm going to put it in right here, put it all in. It's all in now. So in essence, we have the base or the word. This is the word. Okay? Now, with that being said, we're going to do a cup of water. So I'll measure it up, because again, it's precise. You got your little dash of faith people, right? Don't do a dash of faith. Don't try to figure it out on your own. God's telling you exactly what it is. Don't modify the recipe. This is why people's faith is not consistent, because they want to modify the recipe. Okay, so let's pour this up. Okay. All right. Now, this is, we got the base, which is the word, right? Did I say that? That's the word, right? Okay, and this is love's going in right now. We got some love going in. Hallelujah. There it is. Can you see it? All right, good. There you go. So we've got that. Next thing is we need to do a third cup of softened butter. All right? I should have got some gloves. Hallelujah. Hey, somebody's going to need to go get me a rag for sure. That's got to happen. Okay? So you say, Pastor Earl, where's the third? Well, you see right here, we got these nice little measuring things. It's 5.5. A third cup of butter is 5.5 teaspoons. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's right there. That's where I'm going to take it, right here. From here. You know I love you so much right now. Hallelujah. How many of y'all eat sticks of butter? Just sit around and eat a stick of butter all by yourself? I got the cheapest stuff to make this thing. All right. Now, we have that. The next thing we need, the next ingredient for this particular. Now, I don't know what was all in the base, because, again, there's some stuff. And we were making this from scratch. It'll look a lot different, right? And I don't have time to do that because, you know, we got to do a semi-homemade today, right? Okay, so we've got three ingredients that are going to require us to, in order for us to get this cake to show up, okay? The next thing is I need three eggs, all right? I got three eggs. Obviously, we should crack the eggs and put them in. It doesn't mean that you throw the whole egg in. I mean, it would taste different if you left it in its hard shell. Yeah. This is your heart. Wow. If you got a hard heart, if you got a hard heart and you throw it in there, yeah, it's soft on the inside. Problem is, we're dealing with all your little hard parts. Come on. Good. Hallelujah. So you need to get under the word and let him break you.
Yes.
And your way of thinking. Did you see that? One-handed. That's awesome, because I'm a baker. I am the baker. Boom, there you go. All right, now, bam, we have, thank you, we have all the ingredients in the pan. Why does it take Devin so long to get a napkin? I mean, he's so slow. We're going to have to run some sprints or something for this poor guy. You are awesome. Look at this. This is a man of God. He is helping me out right here. Okay, listen. Everything is in right now. Everything's in. So I've been here. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been around people that here we are. I'll say, now listen, you need the word. I got the word, Pastor. You need to walk in love. I've got love. Oh, let's everybody give it up for Devin. He finally made it back. Hey, Devin, we appreciate you. You're so good. You're so good. So slow, but you're good. What is
I had to do a Dukes of Hazzard.
Here's your, let me just, this is good. You can, yeah, that's all I needed. Thank you. All right. So, hallelujah. We're going to run sprints in between services. So I say, you need the word. I got the word, Pastor. You need love. I got it. You need your heart right. My heart's right. Butter, whatever that is, that's some other ingredient of God, right? Amen. He wants you soft. Okay. You know, he, whatever this is, that's what, and you're like, here, I got it all. I got it all. I got it all. And you know what? I look down in there and sure enough, you do. Sure do. You sure do. Well, here's the problem. Once we get all this in, there's something that's been happening. Once you get all the ingredients in a pot, you understand that faith, not everything that we cook doesn't require a little bit of heat. There are some things you can just cook and eat right off the gate, but most of the time, we're heating it up. In James chapter 1, starting in 2 and 4, it says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. The Amplified says it this way, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. The Message says it this way, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. All right? So we got to understand something. Everybody wants to get in the bowl and wants to say, I got it, but ain't nobody want to get in the fire. And let me tell you something. The devil knows. If he can keep you from getting, if he can stop you and cause you to abandon your faith where you're not willing to go through the fire. And what is a fire? A fire is those things that keep saying something contrary to everything that's in the bowl that says it would produce. You got to get in the fire. And you're going to get in the fire because your faith's going to be tested. Because naturally, it's going to look like it ain't going to work. I see it on the box. I've read it in the Word, and I put everything in. But now I'm thinking, man, I don't know that I want to get in there. I don't know that I want to get heated. I don't know if I want to go through that. So, in essence, you want me to serve you like this. Right? I mean, this is your life of faith. That's what you look like. That's your life of faith. This is what you look like. You're like, hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm like, what is wrong with that? Now, honestly, all the ingredients are here. You got the word. You got love. You got a soft heart. You see what I'm saying? I mean, who wants that? Vicky, you want some of this right here? You made some cupcakes the other day. They were really good. You want this? I didn't think so. Are you with me? But this is what most people's faith looks like. And this is just, you just got the ingredients, but you ain't ready for the recipe to be served. Doesn't matter if you got everything in the pot, if you're not going to go through the fire. Hallelujah. You got to go through the fire. That means you're going to have to continue to believe something, even though it doesn't look that way. Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm going to have to go forward in order to come back. Because some of you go through the fire like that. And when you go through the fire like that, you look like this. You see that? Let me tell you what this looks like. This is the church or the individual that still wants everything about them to be seen. They come to church, you know, I'm the eggs, you know. So, hey, everybody, can you see the eggs there? Yeah, you can see the eggs. There's the eggs. That's you. Woo, look at you. You the eggs. Right? Here's you. You're the butter. Right? Make sure you see me now. Come on. I'm coming to church. I need everybody to know I'm the butter. I'm the butter. Look, I'm the butter. Can you see me? I'm the butter. Right? What about this? Are you the flour? I'm the flour. Look at me. Can you see me? Can you see the water? Right now, all four of those elements are in here and we can see it. And this is what happens. People come to church and what about me? What about my ministry? What about what I do? What about me? And all of a sudden you show up with your stick of butter. You show up with your eggs. You're showing up with everything. And all of a sudden, because you won't mix up with everybody else. Well, that ain't my style of worship. That ain't how I do it. Oh, okay. Yeah. That stick of butter stuck over there in the side. We all worshiping, getting stirred up over here. And we got a piece of butter dropping down in there that won't mix in. So what happens is when we don't come together bringing our faith, individually, if you don't start putting the things of faith and start stirring it up in your life, you may have all the ingredients, but all the ingredients ain't no good. When we put you to the fire, you turn out like this, and you cry, oh, pastor, why is my marriage like this? Oh, pastor, why is my job like this? Oh, pastor, why does it seem like? Because you won't stir yourself up. And you go through the fire with all your individual things, checking your boxes off. I got my word. I got my love. I got this. But all those things got to mix together. If you don't put love and the word together, if it don't mix together, if you don't get some hope in there, if you don't get some joy, sometimes you got to stir up a little joy in the Holy Ghost. If you don't stir it up in there, then all of a sudden we have an individual parts that have never came together. So in your individual life, if it don't come together, this is the kind of cake that you're serving to your job, you're serving to your kids, you're serving to your spouse. And you want to know why. They don't like it. God doesn't even like that. No, you need to be whisked. See, ain't nobody want to be whisked. But when you get whisked, all of a sudden now you realize, Lord, it ain't about me the butter. It ain't about me the eggs. It ain't about that. It's about we got to get this thing together. So you start turning. All of a sudden you stir. And man, when you start stirring, you still see each individual part, right? You still see it, but you just keep working it. You just keep coming together. You just keep working it. You just keep coming together. You just keep working it. Come on, you with me now? You keep working it. You keep working it. Man, this ain't a happy process. Why? Because God's beating your little independence out. He's all of a sudden saying, listen, I can't have you showing up and trying to show out. I need you to show up inside somebody else. I need you to connect with somebody else. I need you to become something bigger than your individual self right now. What I need you to do is lose yourself for the recipe. I need you to lose yourself. I need you to lose yourself. Are you with me? Woo, I need you to lose yourself. I need you to lose yourself. I need you to lose yourself. See, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't have need of you. See, I'll be glad when they get past worship. Nah, you got to lose yourself. You got to lose yourself. Some of you, your faith didn't work because you don't worship God. You ain't mixing the worship in with your word and with your faith. You don't have no joy about your life. So you're not mixing it in with the batter. Now, what do we see? Each part is not as identifiable anymore. Now that tastes good. Are you with me? I notice when we all come together and then go through the fire, we'll rise. I said, we'll rise. We'll rise. Now, I don't know about you, but which one you want to serve? In this room today, many of you are baking this cake. Because you're not stirring it up, stirring it up, stirring it up, stirring it up. You don't stir it up before you hit the fire, and because when you hit the fire, you still look like this, and you're mad at God because you're like, I had it all in there. And the Lord's like, you didn't lose yourself before you went in the fire. You didn't lose yourself before you went in the fire. You were checking it off. I got my butter, I got my eggs, I got my flour, I got my water. Now you, Lord, you got to do the rest. The Lord says, nope, you stir yourself up.
Yes, yes, yes.
You lose yourself.
Amen.
You become the batter. Amen. Don't give me a checklist of what's in it. You become it.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Because when you become it, you come out like this. I said, you can come out like this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 12 says this, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare of many foolish and harmful desires and plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, but some by longing for it have wandered away from what? The faith, and pierced themselves with many grief. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Notice, those are all ingredients. Yeah. Those are all ingredients. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. Yeah. Meaning, no reason I brought up the other parts of this verse, because we can focus only on verse 12, is that you can't look to natural things and think that you're going to be able to get God to show up. You've got to only look at the things of God. And what's he tell him to pursue? Righteousness, the right way of doing things. Godliness, so that your life actually reflects God's nature. Right. Not a form of it, but you are actually it. Yeah. Then you have faith. That means you have God's word and you're believing it. You're obviously walking in love, because faith without love doesn't work. And then you got to persevere. Why? Because you know what? Through faith and patience, we inherit. There are some things that are immediate, but a good majority of destiny in life and other types of relationships and purposes and pursuits are going to have some perseverance behind it. It's going to take some time. And then gentleness. You got to be gentle. You got to realize God's got this thing. When this thing is in the oven at 350 degrees, there's a time. I can't rush that process. At this point, I've done everything required that God has said. I've put everything and ingredient in for my faith. I have stirred it up and lost myself in the recipe. Now I'm in the fire and I'm trusting that now God will do what he said he would do. What I can't do now, he's going to do. I'm doing my part. I am fighting the good fight of faith. Now, many of us would love to be able to get God says, now, you know, your marriage will be restored in 30 days, or you get a promotion in 90 days. You'll, have a child, in 9 months, You would love to have these types of things, but the reality is we just believe.
Amen.
I said, we just believe. I said, we just believe. And we know this, as long as we do it, then all of a sudden that timer is going to go off. And we're going to open this thing up and go, oh, my. And you know what happens when you open the door? That all of a sudden an aroma hits.
Yes.
See, your life of faith has an aroma.
Yes.
See, when I baked the first one, it didn't have an aroma. But when I did the second one, it had an aroma. I mean, I was ready to eat, but I knew I had to show you. So I couldn't. You hear what I'm saying? So we got to fight the good fight of faith for which we were called. Psalms 38. When we fight the good fight of faith, Psalms 34:8 says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Amplified says it this way, oh, taste and see that the Lord, our God, is good, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. Do you understand? Your life of faith will produce a recipe that smells so good that when people are around you, they'll taste and see that the Lord is actually good. Psalms 119:103 says it this way, how sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When you begin to live the life of faith, as you begin to declare and talk to people, says, I believe God in his word. I stood in love here. I cast off bitterness. I cast off unforgiveness. I cast off all this, that, and the other. I put in forgiveness, I put in long-suffering, I put in mercy, I put in compassion, and I mixed it all together. They aren't independent of each other. They all had to stay in. I had to keep it mixed in there. I know through my own personal life, and dealing with people in ministry, I have to always keep forgiveness in it. You got to keep forgiveness stirred up in there. I got to keep love believes the best stirred up in there. I got to keep it stirred up in there, because if I don't put love believes the best in there, the minute somebody has a problem, I could immediately revert and say, yeah, I remember that person did, and this person was in a similar encounter. This is probably what's going to happen here. Now we're not believing the best. And then you meet with me and I'm not smelling so good. But when I keep it all in, then when I'm believing God, and it works out in my life, then you say, wow, I can taste and see that the Lord is good, for that was a man of faith who stood on the word and didn't compromise and believed God and trusted God. John chapter 8, verse 52, the latter part of it says this way. The Lord says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Wow, isn't that awesome? The word taste here means to experience. We may leave our bodies to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But you understand, even then, we're not tasting death. We're just separating from our mortal suit. Because all who've called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now that I'm born again and I'm born of God and life lives in me and the Holy Ghost bears witness to my spirit, I'm a child of God. As I let him renew my mind, as I allow him to constantly give me a recipe of faith in whatever he's called me to do, and I stir that thing up and put it in the heat of life, in time, it will come out. What tried to burn me will only have perfected me. And what the world says, you should have died, you come out serving your life. And you don't taste of death. Do you know every one of us are actually having a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experience? We're all thrown in the fiery furnace, though it's probably had furs in there because they wrapped him up in a bunch of stuff, probably fur too. The fiery furnace of life. When I say life, existence in a world that God did not originally create, and there's sin here. And that always attacks God's truth. But when we stand in the midst of it with God, we will come out smelling delicious. And people will look at you and say, wow, what must I do to have my life taste so good like yours? Let's pray. Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's an ingredient that's required of you in faith. You must believe that Jesus came and died on the cross and on the third day was raised from the dead. You must believe that you and know and recognize that you are lost without Jesus and that he's the only way to have life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Earl, today I want to know that I know I'm a child of God. Today, I want to leave this place being right with God. Because at this point, without being a follower of Jesus, you have no recipe. You're just throwing things in a pot and hoping it turns out all right. And every once in a while, it seems to do okay. But that's the devil's deception, as there is a way that it seemed right, but in the end, a lie death. But if you'll call on the name of the Lord to be saved, then your life will be completely changed, and you'll have access to the recipe book of the Word of God that can bring healing to your life, soundness to your life, wholeness to your life, wisdom to your life, prosperity to your life, can restore anything the devil tried to steal from you if you'll just be in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if I ask you today and say, Pastor Earl, I've never confessed Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to do that today. I want to know that I know I'm a child of God. Would you lift your hand, anyone alone, say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray with me? I don't know that Jesus is Lord. And man, I keep going through the fire and coming out, and man, my life stinks. It's horrible. Well, we can stir up a different recipe in your life. But you got to come to Jesus. Anyone at all, say, that's me. I need to confess Jesus as Lord. Then the next thing that I want to do this morning is this, because I know it's so, that many of you, when I look into your bowl, you have all the ingredients, but you've not stirred them up. In fact, Jude tells us to stir up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Wow. And some of you, you're not stirred up, meaning you're not trusting God. You're not trusting the work of the Holy Ghost. You got them all, and you're trying to stand before the Lord justified, but he's like, all I see are individual ingredients. You need to stir this up. They've got to become a part of the whole. Because no recipe works when everything stays separate. It must come together. If your soft heart does not come together with love, you don't have it. If the word doesn't come together with love, you don't have it. You don't have it. You have to stir it up. So if you're here today and say, Pastor Earl, I know I have all the ingredients, but the reality is I'm not stirred up. I'm not stirred up. I'm not stirring it up. I just have an inventoried life, but I don't have it stirred up. I'm not getting it together. And this is where you're missing it. It's where you're missing it. And if that's you today, say, Pastor Earl, that's me. I need to come stirred up. Then I want you to get up from your feet, come down here, and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, help me stir it up. 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 Teach me to stir.